supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us during this episode. We're going to speak about the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. See what date is today. Today, Saturday, is the 2nd of the month of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of Chapter Al-Ma'un.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Ara'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen.
Have you seen the one who denies the recompense?
Fadhalika alladhi yad'u al-yatim.
For that is the one who drives away the orphan. And does not encourage the feeding of the poor. So woe to those who pray. But who are heedless of their prayer.
الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ.
Those who make show of their deeds.
وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ.
And withhold simple assistance.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The substantial point here is that when we are dealing with the orphan, affection and humane treatment is more significant than food, because an orphan must tolerate the lack of affection and spiritual feeding rather than the bodily food, which is in the secondary stage. Of course, feeding the needy, mentioned in these verses, is one of the most important good actions, so that if we cannot feed a needy one, we must encourage others to do so. Those who lack faith in the resurrection and the reckoning in that great court and receiving reward and punishment dare to commit sin, and therefore all kinds of vice can be seen in their behavior.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic is the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Human beings in Islam have both material and spiritual characteristics. Islam does not accept the theory of evolution that human beings were created as apes. Human beings have two dimensions in Islam. One dimension is the highest one, the soul of God, and the other is the lowest, mud. Human beings were created free with the ability to decide and act in such a way to stay anywhere within their dimension, between the highest and lowest levels. Human beings are not all equal, but they are brothers and sisters. They are the only creatures of God who can carry the mission of God in this world and have knowledge. Men and women are completely equal in Islam. Human beings have the highest rank of all creatures of God. So, what is the role of human beings in this world?
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبين استعين In this episode, we are going to be concerned with discharging our responsibilities as viewed in the Islamic religion. First and foremost, it must be indicated that from the Islamic point of view, everybody is responsible regarding any kind of grace or any kind of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. And in this connection, we note that nobody is exempted from discharging his or her responsibilities. Imagine that, for example, someone has made a good medical doctor. When you become a good medical doctor, not only the hospital with which you work, but also the whole community expects many things from you. Or, for example, when you make a good university professor or a good teacher, everybody expects you to discharge your responsibilities as fine as possible and as best as possible. In this connection, you find that this is so in the Islamic religion. And from the Islamic religious perspective, we find that in the sense of discharging our responsibilities is sometimes concerned with our own benefits, and sometimes it's concerned with the benefits of the community. And sometimes, I mean, we are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we find that, I mean, religious piety and being God-fearing is a kind of responsibility that everybody, I mean, every believer is expected to sense and to act according to in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can escape the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when we think about something, we are still, I mean, quite theoretically speaking, even at the level of thinking about something, we are still in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's inescapable to leave aside our responsibilities.
Responsibilities towards Allah, the Almighty. Allah is the creator of all that exists, the sustainer of everything, the giver of every favor, the only true God, worthy of worship and praise, the unique. His mercy is immense, and likewise his torment is extreme. We as his creatures are obligated to worship and behave in him based on the teachings of Islam. Otherwise, our belief or worship will be not accepted and will be of no avail. It's forbidden to try to imagine God, that is, to give him a specific appearance. He's like no one and nothing resembles him. We know him by contemplating in his signs and creatures and by information revealed in the Quran and Hadith. Our understanding of Allah is to be derived from no other sources beyond these two.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Social responsibility in Islam. Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "The faithful in their love for one another and in their having mercy for one another and in their kindness toward one another are like one body. When a member of it ails, all the part of the body call one another to share the pain through sleeplessness and fever." The difference between Islam and most other religions in that is did not content itself with merely establishing acts of worship and abandon the needs of society to a Caesar or any form of temporal governing body. Rather, Islam established ways of conduct, relationship, and rights and obligations for the individual vis-a-vis members of his family and the nation, and for the nation vis-a-vis other nations.
Responsible human being. One of the greatest verses within the Holy Quran, you will see it today. You will be introduced to it today. You want one advice from the Quran? One advice. You tell me, say it. Don't give me five. Don't give me six. Give me one advice. Your best. Your most important advice. The Quran says, you want my number one advice? You want me to sum up all of the Quran and the religion of Islam and everything in one sentence? قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِظُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةً أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ. Rise. Don't be lazy. Don't sit down. Don't. أَن تَقُومُوا. Be active. لِلَّهِ. لِلَّهِ. For Allah. أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى. As a group. وَفُرَادَى. But sometimes by yourselves. Don't think because you're by yourself, you should not rise for Allah. You should be afraid of being lonely. وَفُرَادَ ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَ ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا. And then for you to think, to use your mind. Let us allow this mind to be stimulated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Today is Rabiul Awwal 2nd, the day after the Prophet's migration from Mecca to Medina, a crucial turn in the history of Islam that was made possible by the self-sacrificing act of Imam Ali, peace upon him, who relates, "The Prophet asked me if I would sleep on his bed at the risk of my life for his safety. I delightedly obeyed his order, and I was very happy to do that. That crucial night had come, and the messenger of Allah left Mecca. I slept on his bed. In the middle of the night, the men of Quraysh broke into the Prophet's house with drawn swords. But when they opened the door of the Prophet's room, I got up from his bed and dispersed them.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the great teachings of Islam, and as we mentioned many times, that Islam is not just a religion that is based on individual rituals, individual acts, individual deeds, but rather it is a religion by which a person is built, is self-developed by these rituals in order for him or her to show it into society. That the reflection of how good those acts of worship were is seen in society and how a person deals with other people. And one of the strata of society are the orphans. And the Holy Quran, and in many traditions, we are told about looking after the orphans, taking care of the orphans, and so on and so forth. And it is something that, unfortunately, you know, we need to take greater care of. And in this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions a specific place in paradise that those who looked after the orphans will only be able to enter it. So therefore we see the importance and the stress that the Holy Prophet is placing upon the looking after of the orphan, then obviously giving them their rights and so on and so forth when the time is right. But in this beautiful tradition, it is not merely saying that, you know, give them their rights and stuff. One small, simple thing that the Holy Prophet is saying in this hadith. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that there is a place in paradise called the House of Happiness. So there is this place in paradise that is specific. It is called the House of Happiness, which none shall enter except those who cheered up the orphans from amongst the believers. So here we see there is a specific condition here that does not mean that the orphans from other religions or the orphans from other places should not be cared for. No, this is not what the hadith is saying. The hadith is saying that there is a priority and a level, or rather a gradation of who comes first. That the believers, obviously those believers, especially for example those who went out and sacrificed for Islam and sacrificed for that, for example, me and you can have an easier life or a more, you know, safer life, for example. They obviously may have left behind children, they may have left behind spouses and so on and so forth. Therefore, it is incumbent upon the Muslims, those who these people sacrifice for, to take care of the children of these individuals. Now obviously this can also be, or should actually be, applied to certain government institutions in certain countries, or for example the local community themselves should take it upon themselves to do this, and so on and so forth. So there's many different discussions that can be had on the implication of this and the application of it in the outside world and in reality. But the concept is there, that when there is a orphan from amongst the believers, he or she should be cheered up and cared for by the believers as well. They have a responsibility for this. Inshallah, until our next session. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra. بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. At first, we're going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. Then we're going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. So, the audience, stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Dear audience, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Ewadain al-Maghribi. He's an Egyptian reciter who was born in the rural area in 1921, and to make progress, he moved to Tanta. He learned Quran recitation and its rulings under the care of Sheikh Ibrahim Salam. He entered Egyptian Quran radio in 1952 and passed away in 1992 at the age of 71. May Allah bless his soul. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 36 to 39 of Surah Taha by Sheikh Ewadain al-Maghribi, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. Allah said, "You are granted your request, O Moses, and indeed we conferred a favor on you another time, when we inspired your mother with that which we inspired, saying, 'Put him into the box, and put it into the river, and the river shall cast it up on the bank. And there an enemy of mine and an enemy of his shall take him. And I endued you with love from me, in order that you may be brought up under my eye.'"
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال قد أوتي ولقد مننا عليك مرة أخرى إذ أوحينا إلى أمك ما يوحى أن اقذفيه أن اقذفيه في التابوت فاقذفيه في اليم فليلقه اليم بالساحل ياخذه عدو
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Taha, verses 36 to 39, recited by Sheikh Ewadain al-Maghribi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, before we begin, this recitation was performed in Iran before the victory of the Islamic Revolution. And Sheikh Ewadain al-Maghribi himself said that his style of recitation is influenced by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, mostly. In this recitation, we also see that he follows the style of Sheikh Muhammad Rif'at too. And he's mostly using Maqam Bayati in this recitation. Another thing is that the riwayah that he is reciting is Susi, Okay. The riwaya of Susi. One of the noticeable features of this riwaya is something which is called idghamul kabir. It's a kind of idgham, and it takes place with both letters that are the same and sometimes with letters that are not the same. For example, what did he say at the beginning of his recitation? He said, قَالَ قَدْ أُوْتِي سُولَكَ يَا مُوسَى. So this is idgham kabir, where the ta merges into the seen, and we also have matul lazim taking place. أُوْتِي سُولَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Because we have a tashdeed, the seen becomes mushaddad, and as you know, the cause of matul lazim, one of the causes is tashdeed. We have this in the famous recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha of Abdul Basit as well. If you remember, he recites Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm al-Din. This is also Susi, and this is Idgham Kabir. Mm-hmm. In the word, of course, the other rules of Tajweed are similar to Hafs an Asim. Most of them are similar to Hasan Asim. Okay. For example, the tafkhims, the tarqibs, okay? Marra, the ra was, the ra has tafkhim because it has a fatha.
It should be pronounced with the full mouth practically.
Yes, that's right. The word ukhre, again, we have imala. This is different from Hasan Asim. Mm-hmm. In Hafs, we would say ukhre. But here he says ukhre, which is Susi again. And this entire recitation is apparently in the riwaya of Susi. And interestingly, in this riwaya, we also have qasr of matul munfasil. إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ. He did not lengthen the matul munfasils more than two vowel counts.
Disjunct mat are lengthened as much as matu tabi'i.
That's right. Okay, in the word faqadhi fi, we have qalqala of the qaf. Again, there's no difference between this riwaya and the famous riwaya, which is Hafs an Asim. Fil yammi, we have a mim which is mushaddad. So you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts.
We have to keep on making the nasal sound.
That's right, for two vowel counts. Then in the word mahabbatan, maha, the ha is buha. So you have to pronounce the ha from the correct place of articulation and with the distinct sound of ha, which is called buha.
It's deep in the throat.
Yes, not too much and not too little. If you say mahabbatan, mahabbatan, we didn't hear the buha enough.
Mm-hmm.
It should be deeper. But if you say mahabbatan, that's too much buha, which resembles a kha almost. And lastly, we had another idgham kabir, litusna'a ala ayni. We have ayn, which merges into another ayn, even though the first ayn has a haraka. We have the same thing, idgham al-mutamathilain in Hafs, but that's only whenever the first letter is sakin and the second letter has a haraka.
Okay, thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Question. Some people will tell us, who are you to understand the Quran? The Ahlul Bayt understand the Quran. Actually, we have hadith that says that, this is a hadith now, إِنَّمَا يَعْرِفُ الْقُرْآنَ مَنْ خُتِبَ بِهِ. The only person who truly knows the Quran is the person who was addressed by the Quran. Who are you, mu'mineen? How dare you go over? What are you trying to understand from the Quran? And you'll see believers putting the Quran aside. Reading it for thawab. But I'm talking about it being in my personal life. I'm getting inspiration from this. My life is based on this. You'll find so many believers, practicing people, they're not getting inspiration from the Quran. They're not interacting with the Quran. Sometimes maybe even out of ihtiyat. This hadith is telling us that yes, the highest levels of understanding, the intricacies of the Quran, yes, only Ahlul Bayt understand that highest, they are Quran and Natiq. Only they understand that. But it doesn't mean you and I don't understand anything from the Quran. That the Quran is Chinese. I have no idea. No. Actually, brothers and sisters, that's why for each and every one of us, if we don't understand Arabic enough to be able to read the Quran in Arabic and understand it, we also need to read the translation. It needs to be part of the life of the believer. I'm reading the word of God, the message of God. What is God telling me? What's his message for me? And it's when that pondering takes place that actually we'll be able to get that spiritual growth. So what's the conclusion that we're coming to, brothers and sisters? Yes, there are limitations to our understanding. We don't claim to be Ahlul Bayt. We benefit from the works of ulama, but that doesn't mean that on a personal level, you and I are not supposed to be personally reading the Quran saying, what is God's message for me, personally? We don't want to go against the ahkam themselves, right? But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to be benefiting and reading and learning.
That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطية أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك.
Brothers and sisters, previously we were talking about the factors that actually hinder the acceptance of our supplications. You may remember a few months ago we touched upon some of these factors, like bad intention, like hidden vices and mistrust, and of course the most important one, hypocrisy, which we talked about for a few programs. Another factor that we must talk about is the factor of stinginess. It is so obscene that humans benefit from all the material and spiritual blessings that of course the Almighty Allah has bestowed on them, but some of them do not donate part of their wealth. They are not willing to give anything in charity. The correct point of view is that human wealth that is gained by legal means, of course, is a divine trust from which he is allowed to spend according to his dignity and deeds. Allah has ordered the human beings to give their additional possessions away to the poor and to the unfortunate ones. The human himself, as well as everything that he possesses, they are all Almighty Allah's belonging, and every belonging should be spent by its owner's permission. So, if the servant spends the wealth based on his own impulses, he should certainly expect the owner's punishment. The one who is the owner of us and our wealth has said that we must give away our possessions to the poor, to the unfortunate, and we should give our wealth in charity. Excessive accumulation of wealth, which is possible only by stinginess and doing evil in business, is exactly opposing Almighty Allah's will, which is a major sin. And this will cause for misfortune and hard-heartedness. It sometimes deprives human from Almighty Allah's mercy and brings about His chastisement in hereafter. So, meanness is an evil attribute, and it is an obscene vice which is criticized in the Holy Quran and in the Prophet's traditions. You may have studied the history of our prophets. You may have thought about the different verses of the Holy Quran talking about the people of the different prophets throughout the history, and the most important problem they had was that stinginess, was that excessive love for the accumulation of wealth. The Quranic verses and the traditions represent a stingy individual as an unthankful servant who is doomed to punishment.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask ask you, begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
The Holy Quran says, الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله. Those who hoard their wealth and of course enjoin it on others and hide that which Almighty Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty. وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا. For disbelievers we prepare a shameful doom. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated in this regard, حُرِّمَتِ الْجَنَّةُ عَلَى الْمَنَّانِ وَالْبَخِيلِ وَالْقَتَّاتِ. Paradise is forbidden for some people, of course the stingy ones and the ones who oblige for others are among them. Imam Ali alayhi salam heard someone saying, the fault of the stingy is more excusable than the oppressors. And he alayhi salam told him, كَذِبْتَ, you are wrong. إِنَّ الظَّالِمَ يَتُوبُ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَيَرُدُّ الظُّلَامَةَ عَلَى أَهْلِهَا. The oppressor can repent, can ask for Almighty Allah's forgiveness, and will return people's material rights. وَالشَّحِيهُ إِذَا شَحَّ مَنَعَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالصَّدَقَةَ وَالصِّلَةَ الرَّحِمِ وَإِقْرَاءَ الضَّيْفِ وَالنَّفَقَةَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأَبْوَابَ الْبِرِّ. But when someone shows meanness, he avoids almsgiving, charity, hosting guests, and spending in Almighty Allah's way. Paradise is forbidden for the stingy. وَحَرَامٌ عَلَى الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ يَدْخُلَهَا شَحِيحٌ. So these are some of the verses of the Holy Quran and some of the traditions stating the importance of stinginess and what a crucial role it plays in hindering the acceptance of our prayers. And that is why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Allahumma ghfir li al-dhunub allati tahbisu al-du'a. O Allah, forgive me the sins which hold back supplications. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program that is about the life and times of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul. And once again, I'm your host for this program, Ijaz Hussain, and I also have my good friend, Dr. Mahdi Turabi, on the line. And I'd just like to say salam and welcome him to the program.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, Dr. Mahdi Turabi. We are speaking about the man who changed the world, and we got to the stage where we discussed some personality and characteristics of the Imam, of course, in the last sessions we had. But today we're going to talk about how Imam Khomeini has revived religion put religion on the map in terms of the fact both as far as Islam is concerned and as far as spirituality is concerned around the globe. Dr. Mahdi Turabi, your take on that?
Well, I think one of the important features or one of the important effects or consequences of having a personality like Imam enter the scene was exactly that, what you mentioned, which is that it really was all about reviving Islam. And because at that time we lived in a world where, you know, the Western civilization was dominant.
Yes.
And in that civilization, you know, religion was really becoming a secondary issue.
Yes, it was.
Or was becoming something that was marginal or that was, you know, related to a minority of the population.
Sure.
And then if you look at all the intellectual climate of that time in that dominant civilization, it was, you know, pretty much across the board secular, whether it was left-wing secular, you know, Marxist, or liberal secular, or even on the right. You know, if you look at, you know, movements such as neoconservatism or the kind of secular right wing, if you look at the States or if you look at Thatcher in Britain.
Yeah, yeah. Reminded me of the Iron Lady again, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus.
There really wasn't any more space for any kind of religious discourse.
Sure.
Or the religious discourse that was marginalized.
It was very much marginalized. You're absolutely right.
Or it was, you know, labeled as just, you know, fundamentalist and whatever. And of course, this also relates to Christianity and the inability of Christianity at that time, and still, I would argue today, to really.
To cope with the issues of today. That's absolutely right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so here we had, and in Islam, we had a similar situation in the sense that when you had the those branches of Islam that didn't follow the school of Ahlul Bayt, they were also confronted with this inability to really offer solutions to, you know, the believers or the people.
Sure.
Maybe less so than Christianity, but still there was a lot of problems.
Sure.
That they were confronted with.
To be honest, Dr. Mahdi Turabi, the thing is that, you know, hindsight's a great thing, you know, and when we look back on the situation, I mean, when we see what the hell is going on in the Middle East with the Takfiris and all the rest of it, we can certainly understand that, you know, why they were not able to cope with anything, because they're pretty much in the pocket of the West, at the, you know, even today. So,
well, of course. I mean, that's one aspect of it.